Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way by which we persist in true faith is to hold on to the foundation and not to depart from it in the slightest. Anyone who does not hold on to Christ, even though he may comprehend heaven and earth, has no knowledge that is not sheer vanity. All the treasures of heavenly wisdom are hidden. They are included in Christ. This evening we look at an important passage in God's holy word from which we learn that there is no other rule of true wisdom than to fix all our thoughts on Christ alone. Christ always had the position of sovereignty that he holds today. Christ will always be the same to the end of the age. Christ, who came to this world as the Son born to Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem, has reigned from the beginning of the world, yes, from all eternity. We cannot advance any further than when we have come to him. The knowledge of Christ has flourished among believers in every age. It is the lasting foundation of the church. Christ, to whom the faithful look in both the Old and the New Testament time, is always the same. Lord Jesus Christ has been with us through the days and weeks and months of this past year. He will be with us in the new year. How good it is to end the year and begin the year with him, and to walk with him through all the days and months. We are so dependent upon him. We are mortals. We are weak. We are frail. We are sinful. We are prone to go astray at a moment's notice. Temptation is all around us each and every moment. The devil is there seeking to destroy us. How we need the Lord. And when we look around us, we see nothing but change and decay in everything that we see. And in the future, we will see the same tensions and the same battles, the same unrest at home and abroad, the same confusion, the same fear, the same hopelessness, the same despair. These are the terms that describe the life of millions in the world. But these words should not describe the life and the situation of believers, no matter how dark the future may look for the world. The Church of Jesus Christ has a very bright future, even a glorious future. Our Savior promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Therefore, we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" These are not just words spoken by a man who is mortal like we are. These are the words of the eternal God, who in Jesus Christ has become one with us. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. Of this Emmanuel, our text testifies that he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This evening I want to consider with you two aspects of the unchangeableness of our Savior. He is always present with us, and his doctrine is unchanging and unalterable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This text is one of those nuggets of which there are so many in the Bible, such as the text we considered together this morning. There is a danger that we look at this verse too abstractly. There are people who use this text to prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. If we use this verse only as a proof text in our debates with unbelievers and with people from other faiths and religions, then we will not derive the comfort from it that God intends to bring to us. In this verse, the apostle is not discussing the eternal being of Christ. He discussed that in chapter 1 of this epistle. Here, in chapter 13, the Lord sets before us the knowledge of Him, which flourishes among men and is the lasting foundation of the church. We must examine the context to see what the Lord intends to teach us with this marvelous statement. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13. There the Lord says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Here the Lord reminds these Hebrew Christians of their duty to honor their leaders, the ministers, the elders, the teachers who have been the instruments in God's hand to bring them to a saving knowledge of the gospel. Many of these leaders had already been killed during the persecutions they endured. They had given their lives for the sake of the gospel. Every time a ruler, whether a minister or some other important leader in the church, had been killed or imprisoned, then the congregation would have been left without a leader, without a shepherd. The result would be discouragement and a feeling of abandonment. And therefore, to encourage these Hebrew Christians, the Lord says, "Remember these rulers, stand firm in the same faith in which they stood. Look at the way they died. They entered the joy of their Lord. Although some of you also are now without a shepherd, you should not forget that the chief shepherd is still with you. When you lost your leader, you lost only a preacher of the word, but the word itself stays with you. The word that they spoke to you is still right there for you to read and to meditate upon. Even more, the Christ of the Word is also still with you. So there is no reason for you to be discouraged. Even if all your leaders would be taken away from you, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And that is the comfort for the church of all ages, in all times, and in all places. The comfort for those believers at the time this letter was written, and also the comfort for you and me who live today. Jesus lives for His people, and He stays with His people forever. That is what the Lord has been emphasizing all through this letter. The theme of this letter to these Hebrew Christians is the superiority of Jesus Christ to all the types and shadows and ceremonies of the Old Covenant. Christ is a superior high priest to Aaron, who died, and to his descendants, who followed him, who also died in the Old Testament. Our high priest abides forever. All human and earthly priests served only for a time. Their ministries always ended in death. But this man is different. Hebrews chapter 7, Verses 24 and 25 tell us, but He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Christ is also a superior mediator to Moses, the mediator of the Old Covenant. Christ is the mediator of a superior administration of God's covenant of grace. Christ is a superior sacrifice to the sacrifices of animals, of bulls and goats and sheep. Christ brings us to a better land and to a better rest than Joshua did in the land of Canaan, the land of promise. Christ has entered into a superior holy place than the high priest in the Old Testament ever did, with the blood of atonement for sin that washes away our sins. Christ is a superior prophet to all the prophets of the Old Testament. Christ is a superior king to all the kings of the Old Testament. Christ is the Son over God's house, not just a servant as Moses and all other men are. What the Lord has in view here in Hebrews 13, verse 8, is not so much the divinity and the eternity of Christ, the second person of the Trinity, but rather the lasting value of His office and the knowledge of Him that has always and will always flourish among believers in every age and is the lasting foundation of the church. And this is rooted in, and it is based on, His divinity and His eternity. If Christ were not eternal, if He were not God, He could not be an eternal priest either. And yet the emphasis is on His offices as our Redeemer, His offices of prophet, priest, and king. Jesus Christ is the same in His divine person, eternal and unchangeable. And because He is so in Himself, He is also so in His offices, in His ministry. And He is now in glory, in the sanctuary of the tabernacle or the temple in heaven. He is continuously interceding or praying there for His own. He is not only praying, but He is also there preparing a place for us that we might be with Him where He is forever. And He is making arrangements for His second coming, His return. Until that time, He is guiding His church. He is protecting His people. He is loving them. He is caring for them. And He does so as the King of righteousness, whose kingdom cannot be shaken. The eternal priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, and the greatest and final prophet who speaks from heaven, whose voice shakes not only the earth, but also heaven. He is the same for all His people in all their circumstances and situations. In every state, in every condition of His church, in every condition of believers, in times when the church prospers and grows and becomes influential in society, and also in times when the church is of little consequence, when it is marginalized, so that most people do not even see the importance anymore of the church of Jesus Christ, and those who are still faithful to Him are often persecuted in many countries, no matter what the situation and the circumstances may be. He is the same, and He remains the same for His own. And He will be the same forever. He was yesterday, and He is today, and He will be forever, our merciful High Priest, who, because He Himself was tempted in all points like we are, yet while He was here on this earth, yet without sin, He is now also able to comfort us when we are tempted. These are precious things that the Lord says to those Christians in those early days of the gospel of Christ, and also to us today. If we really believed this, if we really laid hold of this, then we could face the future with great confidence. Think of it this way. What can really happen to us with such a high priest, with such a prophet, with such a king, who rules us and who rules all things always, and who is continually interceding for us, continually praying for us in heaven at the Father's right hand, and who has given to us His Word and His Holy Spirit to guide us in the way of truth and of life, the way of righteousness and holiness. The words, "Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever," mean, in the first place, that we have His abiding presence with us to comfort and to cheer us. Second, these words also refer to Christ's unchanging doctrine, His teaching ministry. Let us go back again to Hebrews 13, verse 7. There the Lord exhorts the Hebrews not only to remember their departed leaders, but also to follow their faith. Whose faith follow? He says, considering the outcome of their conduct. Here he is talking about faith in its objective sense, as the doctrine of salvation, not in the subjective sense. Yes, the subjective sense is included. These leaders had faith in Jesus Christ. But here the Lord is emphasizing what they taught the people, the doctrines of salvation. These are also unchangeable because they have their origin in Christ. The Lord is saying, because they taught the doctrines of Christ, therefore for that reason what they taught is also unchangeable, namely the truths of the Christian faith, the Christian religion. And that is why the Apostle Jude urges us to contend earnestly for that faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Here, the Lord tells the Hebrews the same thing. He says, follow, copy the faith of those who have spoken to you the Word of God. Continue in it. Stay with it. Do not let it slip away from you. The truth that has been preached to you by your leaders, many of whom have now died, have been massacred, have been martyred for the faith, that truth cannot be changed. That does not mean that people will not try to change it, but they cannot change it without replacing it with that which is not true. Be sure that you never even try to change the truth or to alter it in any way. It was not because these church leaders were infallible in themselves, but because they taught by Christ through His Holy Spirit. Part of that teaching is that Christ is unchangeable. And that is also part of sound doctrine. And because Christ is unchangeable, therefore truth or Christian doctrine is likewise unchangeable. And that is why the Lord goes on to say in verse 9 of this chapter, do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. There were already, in those early days of the church, false prophets who tried to lead Christians in the church astray with all kinds of heresies, all kinds of false teachings. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There were so many different strange false doctrines in the first century. And one of those strange doctrines was the teaching of the Judaizers, who were Christians with a Jewish background, who tried to add something to the gospel of Christ that had been preached to them. They said, sure, it is necessary that you believe in Jesus Christ if you want to be saved. That you trust in what He has done on the cross for you. Of course, but that is not enough. If you want to be a first-rate Christian, then you also have to follow all the Old Testament ceremonies. You have to keep the law of Moses. You have to keep all the Sabbaths. You have to receive the sacrament of circumcision. You have to follow all the various ordinances and ceremonies in the Old Testament. That is what makes you a true Christian. That was a very serious error. So here the Lord warns believers against those doctrines that are not Christian doctrines. These false teachers, in teaching false doctrines, tried to move people away from the only foundation for their faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. They questioned the sufficiency of God's grace in Christ. They denied that a sinner is saved by grace alone through faith and without any of their own works as part of their righteousness before God. And that is why the Lord speaks here in verse 9 about foods, the unclean and the clean foods and all that goes with it. And the Lord says such various and strange doctrines differ from the faith that the apostles preached to you. And that faith can never be changed. That doctrine is as solid, as immutable, as unchangeable as Jesus Christ Himself is. That is also a warning to us today. We are living in a time of great change, including change in doctrine and change in the church. And there are not only changes in politics and in social values and in ideas and in ways of living, but there are also many changes in the church. Men's opinions are constantly changing. And that is especially bad when we try to change what Christ says the church is and what Christ teaches in His Word. You can hardly keep up today with the many new theories that are being set forth. All kinds of various and strange doctrines are being preached in many Reformed churches that until recently were conservative. This is rampant in evangelical churches too. You would not believe what is being taught in some of those churches. There are tremendous changes in what is being taught today in modern theology and in the modern church. They are all wrong. They depart from the unchangeable doctrine of the gospel of Christ. And that is going to continue in this new year. That means that the temptation will become stronger and stronger for us also to forsake the faith of our fathers. And here in our text, the Lord commands us to hold on to the doctrines set forth in the Bible. They cannot be changed. There are many traditions that have accumulated over the centuries, different ways of doing things that may be good, but none are so good that they can never be changed. Changing them does not affect the doctrines taught in the Bible. And that is often what causes problems in a church. Some people think that all traditions should never be changed. That is not true. The Word of God, the truths taught by Jesus and the apostles and the prophets, can never be changed. If you do, then you cannot be saved. People all around us are in the process of changing. They will argue like this: since things are changing all around us, we had better change with them, because otherwise we will fall hopelessly behind and we may even lose our young people. That is happening. Many young people and older people are leaving churches in droves. In Europe, it is alarming how many people are leaving the church. In a desperate attempt to keep them, people make all kinds of changes, even in the Bible Belt in our country. They change where they meet on Sunday. How about a meeting in a bar? Maybe that'll work. They change what they do in the service. Maybe that'll work. They change the day and the time and the atmosphere. Maybe that'll work. They change the content of the preaching. Maybe that'll work. But here in this passage, the Lord cuts off any such attempts to change things by saying, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word, His doctrine cannot change. Neither can it be reinterpreted in such a way as to become something different from what it meant originally. Postmodernism means that there are people who go beyond modernists. They look at a text in Scripture or in any other book, and they say what the author meant by that statement is not important. Do not bother with what the author meant. You must understand it for yourself. You must understand what it means to you. It varies from person to person. One person says it means that. Another person says it means this. Who is to say which is right? That's not so very different from what Karl Barth taught about the Bible. That it becomes the Word of God in the existential moment as you read it. And therefore it is a different word for every person who reads it. Never the same. Everybody ends up with his own Bible. With his own idea. Which may have nothing at all to do with what the original author meant. And they call it postmodernism. The result is endless confusion, subjectivism, relativism. Everyone makes up his own mind as to what his religion is, or no religion at all. what his religion should mean or what no religion should mean. But we know better than that. When Christ says you must be born again, he means exactly that. When he urges sinners to seek to enter the kingdom of heaven by the narrow gate, he does not mean a wide gate. When he says, I am the way, he does not mean you can be saved in your own way or in some other teacher's way, as long as you are sincere about it. Multiculturalism says that everybody's religion is the same in value. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that Scripture cannot be broken and that the whole Old and New Testaments are the Word of God. He does not mean that you and I can pick and choose and decide for ourselves which part we will accept and which part we want to reject. The doctrines of Christ cannot change and will not change. It is man who has to change. And that includes you and me. We all need to undergo that basic, that radical, that fundamental change from death into life. By nature, no one likes the doctrine of Christ. No one likes him to search out the inner recesses of his heart. And Christ says, take up your cross and follow me, we pretend not to hear the first part of the sentence. We only hear the word, follow me. And then we interpret that to mean that we must be religious and do certain things that the Bible tells us to do as long as it does not interfere with what I like and what I do not like. Who likes bearing a cross? But if we do that, then we follow a Jesus of our own imagination. A Jesus that says, just trust in me. Or as some people say today, give him a chance. You've tried so many different ways, just try Jesus. You will find that he will solve all your problems. Your problems in relationships, your problems in your marriage, whatever problems you may have. He may even make you rich. If you give this ministry money, he will reward you and you will be prosperous. The real Jesus, the real Christ of Scripture always says, if your right eye or your right hand offends you, pluck it out and cut it off. In other words, deny yourself. The Lord Jesus knows that we have all these sinful desires and lusts. But he does not say, just live according to your desires. Be yourself. Do what comes naturally. No. He says, crucify. Put to death the flesh with all its lusts, with my help and strength and grace. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven is my disciple. Yes, there has to be a change. Not a change in Christ. Not a change in the doctrine of Christ. But a change in us. Has that change taken place in you? Without such a change in heart and in mind, there is no salvation. Let us not think that only unbelievers have to change. No, God's children, believers, must change continuously in the way of sanctification, in the way of growth, in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Even if you have experienced that great change when you passed from death into life, there is still so much in your life, there's still so much in my life that needs changing. For we are always inclined to go astray. We too are tempted to listen to the enticing voice of the devil who says, has God really said? Have you never had those moments when you doubted and questioned some aspect of the Bible and you thought, is that really true? Would God really be that strict, that harsh, that He would really forbid those things that the world enjoys? Why cannot I have it too? And therefore, if we are honest with ourselves, we should realize that we are just as vulnerable, just as inclined to all manner of evil as my neighbor is. And so the Lord's warning comes to us. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. The Savior Himself said that. He said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. The Apostle John urges us to try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Oh, how thankful we should be that the Lord has given us a measuring rod, a ruler, a plumb line, by which we can measure every preacher, including this one, every preacher and every teacher, and that measuring stick is the Word of God, the doctrine of Christ, which never changes. It never needs adjusted. And therefore, whatever is not in harmony with that doctrine has to be rejected. We have to be like the Bereans, the people in Berea, to whom the Apostle Paul spoke the Word of God, so that when I have given you a sermon, you ask yourself, is what he said today true? The Bereans went to the Scriptures, and they compared what they heard in church with what the Bible says. I do not recommend that you be suspicious at every moment. But the point is that you should never accept what a man says, even a minister of the gospel, on his own authority, because he can certainly lead you astray, maybe even unwittingly. Check it out. Only if we trust in Christ and cling to Him and His Word will we experience His blessings also in this new year. For then we will experience His abiding presence. These two things always go together. If we forsake the doctrine of Christ, we cannot have fellowship with Christ. As harsh as it may seem, He will have nothing to do with us anymore. But if we cling to Him and to His Word, if we love His doctrine, if we live His doctrine, then He will reveal Himself to us in boundless grace and mercy, and there is communion with Him. And then His presence is there to cheer us in all our trials and tribulations. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That means He loves me today, even though I must confess that I'm still full of sin. That means that He loves me tomorrow, even though I know already that I will grieve Him again and again with my sin. But in spite of all my failures, He loves me always. Unconditional love. Whenever I sin and repent of that sin, when I plead His mercy, He will forgive me graciously. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that work that He has begun in me, He will complete by His grace. That is your comfort to which you are entitled, if you believe in Jesus, who never changes, and who is always with you, even unto the end of the age. Is that true of you? If not, as we come to this new year, turn to this unchangeable Christ and beg Him to be your Savior also, your teacher. He has never turned anyone down. Never. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gospel of grace, the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and who has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who has promised, I will be with you even unto the end of the age. Father, we pray that we may abide in the doctrine of Christ. That we may not go searching for some other doctrine, some strange and different doctrine. That we may not go astray and turn aside from that which You set before us in the Scriptures. We thank You for those whom You have given to rule over us, who have spoken the Word of God to us, whose faith You command us to follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Help us to do that. Because we are following not a man, but we are following Jesus Christ and what He teaches in His Word. Lord, we live in the midst of a world that is confused, a world that is without hope and without comfort, a world that is so troubled and is becoming ever more troubled because they do not have Christ. They reject Him, for He is the stone which the builders rejected, which You have made the chief cornerstone. And they reject Your Word. And Father, we even see the church changing the preaching, changing the atmosphere, changing everything, desperately trying to keep people in their number. Oh, Father, have mercy upon such a wicked, such a corrupt, such a fallen, such a miserable lot. Pour out Your grace and Your Holy Spirit and send forth the light and the truth of Jesus Christ and send forth Your church and Your people to hold forth that word of life, that many may hear and see and believe and may have the comfort of the gospel of Your grace. Also in this new year, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.